Hello, Cubs fans. This is David in Alexandria, Virginia, and this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. You can learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. This is our 389th episode, and this one might be a little more somber than the last time we got together. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Kyle Schwarber injury, but we'll hit on some positive stuff too. The Cubs are still winning games, so there's some positive things to talk about. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, my name is Andy.
And this is Kurt.
Wow, you guys are really mixing
like
it
that?
Up. Yeah,
a little like
different inflections.
I like to mix it up.
Yeah. So we're done with the West Coast road trip, and we don't have to worry about late West Coast games until August. How beautiful is that? And there's only two in August because they're weekend series, two different series. So, I guess this week has made me happy that I am a fan of a team in my own time zone.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah.
That would
feel bad for our Australian Cubs fans that we're acquainted with and our UK Cubs fans. But man, a 7 o'clock start is just about my speed.
yeah, seriously. Yeah,
that works out pretty well.
Yeah. So that has been the Ivy Envy, our old guys update. We don't like the late night games and we're done with them.
Yep. Oh, and, still tired.
Yeah. And in the chat room, we're not supposed to forget the Dutch either. Sorry, I mentioned Australians.
Yes, and the Dutch. Well, yeah.
I think that these afternoon recording times work out for our international listeners. Probably a little bit better to do the live thing.
But, oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we are recording.
Good to have some Dutch folks in here because that's my main bloodline.
Your people.
That's where my 33-36 comes from.
We saw your son peek in here before the show started. And could you have made any more of a stereotypically Dutch-looking child?
Or Irish, I suppose. But yeah.
We should preface this with that. We are recording in the afternoon. So the Diamondback series is not over. The game's going to start here in about an hour and a half from when we're recording. So we're going a little bit earlier today. If you like to buy your Cubs and other event tickets online, you know that most sites make the process really complicated and they try to sneak in huge fees when you check out. And that's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. Last week, I talked about being able to track prices and get alerts when the prices drop. I've got a few dates that I'm watching, but I'm going to be in St. Louis this weekend. And don't hate me, but I want to hit a Cardinals game while I'm there. I know our listeners probably don't appreciate that, but I'll be with my brother-in-law, and he's never been to Busch Stadium, and we really have nothing better to do at night. So obviously the tickets were much cheaper on SeatGeek than the Cardinals website, and I was able to wait and let them drop. And it was really easy to get the tickets. We got a great deal on them, and really SeatGeek is going to be the first place that I look for game tickets. I got the app on my phone. I purchased through there. It was insanely easy. I didn't even have to punch in my credit card. It just let me like scan it and take a picture of it. And the whole process seriously took me like 2 minutes. And when I picked out my tickets, it showed me the view from those seats, which I think would be very convenient if you're purchasing tickets for Cubs games at Wrigley and you want to avoid the obstructed views. And if you want the rebate and this convenient ticket purchasing experience, this is how you do it. Download the free SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code Ivy, IVY in all caps. And then when you make your first purchase, SeatGeek will send you $20. And so download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Ivy. By the way, so we're going to that Cardinals game and my brother-in-law lives in Houston and he's talking about wearing an Astros hat. And I'll be obviously be wearing a Cubs hat, even though it's a Cardinals Brewers game. That's just what I I wear Cubs hats. But he's gonna wear an Astros hat, and then he bought a shirt that says "Don't hack me, bro."
That's perfect.
Yeah, and then I was thinking like we should have a sign that says "Stay out of our proprietary system."
Jeez, so you're doing some trolling while you're there.
I don't know. Last time I didn't because I kind of wanted to. Well, the time you know when I was there and the Cubs weren't playing, it was Cardinals and the Rockies. We wore our Cubs stuff just because that's what we do. But we didn't try to troll anybody. But I don't know. So all you creative people out there, I want to hear your ideas for signs that we should hold up. So tweet them to us and use the hashtag Cards Game Sign. So. I know we have a lot of like snarky, you know, creative people, and I want to hear some of your ideas.
Well, I know there was some talk of getting a Hayward jersey at some point, right?
Yeah, I did think, yeah. I haven't purchased that yet. I don't know. I don't know. Like, I like the idea of trolling in person where it kind of makes the person that you're trolling laugh. So I don't know. I don't really want to get beat up.
You don't think that would elicit laughter? Is what you're saying?
I don't know. Cardinals fans are kind of an odd bunch, so I don't know. I'm not sure what to do. Okay, we're almost there. But check us out, guys. I got my box right here. Rizzo's cereal. And so this box right here, we're going to do a giveaway. I'm going to give this box away to folks that support through Patreon. So it says really only available in the Chicago area. We had them here in the Quad Cities, but I believe they're all gone now. And so we'll have the drawing for this box of Rizzo's in 2 weeks, on the Sunday episode in 2 weeks. So if you live outside the Chicago area and you want this box of Rizzo's, then you have a chance if you join our Patreon campaign. Okay, so enough fun and games, enough you know, trolling Cardinals fans talk and everything. It's time to talk about Kyle Schwarber. I felt sick to my stomach when I heard the news on Friday. Like I met Tawny and the girls after work. We went out to eat and I just couldn't, like, I just felt sick to my stomach. And I just like Schwarber so much. And all I could think about is kind of imagining how he feels. All of the anticipation, you know, the Cubs probably have the best chance in decades, maybe a century, to win the World Series, and in the third game of the season, it's over for him. And I guess when you just look at how much fun this team had last year, and now he doesn't get to be a part of everything this year, it was just, I just felt so bad.
Yeah, and thanks, Corey, for sort of snapping me out of focusing on the impact on the team and thinking about the person, because, yeah, I think most of the people on the internet were just really upset because of the impact it would have on the Cubs as a team. But I mean, what he's missing out on, you know, could be huge.
Yeah. I did see some remarks from Theo, and I suppose I think this is going to happen, but I think they exchanged a text conversation or something, and Schwarber asked that, could he please stay with the team during his rehab as much as possible? And of course, I think they agreed to that. So certainly won't be contributing on the field. But Theo kind of said, like, the first thing he was concerned with is the team going to be okay? And can I still be around instead of just, you know, off in Arizona or wherever he might be rehabbing? So
yeah, I would imagine, I would imagine
that stings.
Yeah, I would imagine we'll see him probably in some series in Chicago and stuff. Maybe see him in the dugout and, you know, just there. But maybe he could play the Jason Mott role. He was towards the end of the season. He was just there.
He just can't stop this.
I thought you were about to say B. Clark. I'm glad you said the Jason Mott role.
Yeah, he was just there. He didn't really do anything towards the end of the season. He was there and was happy.
Even the top step of the dugout.
But I mean, just imagine if the, you know, if we're so lucky that the Cubs do win the World Series this year, it's not devastating because I'm sure he's going to be happy for his teammates and everything, but he's not going to have the positive, you know, he's not going to look back on this season and think about how much fun it was or anything like that. Even if he gets to be around the team a little bit, I mean, he's got a lot of work ahead of him, and we're going to get into all that, but I really like Schwarber. I had the opportunity to interview him right after he was drafted, and he was extremely nice. If you want to listen to that interview, you can access it right on the front page of our website, or you can go to ivmv.com/Schwarber. So
Go ahead.
Well, is there anything else?
The deets.
Yeah, let's do that. So, I guess before we get into all of the discussion about what this means for the 2016 Cubs, Kurt, not that anyone wants to relive it, but kind of lay the groundwork here. If somebody's waking up from a coma,
yeah, I was gonna say, chances are, if you're a Cubs fan, you know what happened or you've seen it. But you know, I'll do a quick recap. So on Thursday, you know, Segura hit that fly ball kind of in a no man's land. Joe Maddon's quote was that it had bad things written all over it. And so both Schwarber and Fowler were sort of converging on the ball in the gap and didn't see each other. And, you know, Schwarber and kind of collided topside over Fowler. And, you know, the result was not good. Thankfully, Fowler seems to be okay with a little bit of hip soreness, but nothing serious. But then Kyle took the brunt of it. And, you know, at first, I suppose there was, you knew it was bad just by the way it looked when you watched it, but there was some optimism after the x-ray that there was no break. So it was kind of holding out that there were no tears, but obviously there were. And so the injury is a torn ACL and LCL. So he tore two of the four ligaments in the knee, in the left knee. Which is obviously not good. An ACL, you can recover from, I think, a little quicker, but when you tear two, it's a little longer recovery time.
So I was glad to see, just as a little side note, that Maddon is giving Dexter a blow today. You know, just give him a chance to kind of have a day off.
Mm-hmm. It's probably tough on him a little bit mentally, too. I mean,
right.
To have to be involved in that and then be the one that walks away while the other guy gets hurt so badly. But so yeah, the likely next few weeks is that they usually just kind of wait, let the swelling and some of the initial stuff go away, and then they'll do surgery, perhaps two. A lot of times with the multiple tears, they do more than one. So they'll fix one, let it sit for a while, and then go in and fix the other. And it's kind of strange because this isn't a baseball injury typically, because it takes this kind of collision to really kind of mess up your knee like this. And plus, you know, throw in there's a severe ankle sprain too, which I guess is secondary concern at this point. But this is really kind of a football injury, you won't see.
Especially too, because I mean, you mentioned it's usually not a baseball injury. I think part of that too, and the reason you see more of this in football, obviously the impact. But I think in football, you have so much of more like side to side movements, mm-hmm. and you kind of have those like weird movements on your knees, where in baseball, you're pretty much running in a straight line if you are running. You know, it's not, it seems like I would think that knee injuries as a whole are more common in those other sports where there's more side to side movement.
Yeah, and you'll see, like, in baseball, I suppose you'd probably see, like, a single tear or something like that, where maybe you just landed wrong or you mm-hmm. kind of twist it. But to really, you know, tear both at the same time, it takes this kind of weird collision, like, you know, a big lineman running into a quarterback kind of thing.
Yeah, and Michael from the San Ranto podcast, I think it was, posted a freeze frame of the moment where his leg kind of rolled under Dexter's body, or his ankle, I should say. And it was, yeah, I mean, you just looking at that, you could see how devastating that moment was.
Ugh, I don't want to see that.
Yeah. And I didn't, and you know, in real time, it's almost hard to see it. And I didn't watch it too many times because I'm a little squeamish when it comes to that, you know, limbs twisting in the wrong direction. But
yeah, it didn't look that bad when it first happened.
It kind of looked like he hit his thigh more than anything else,
right,
in real time.
But yeah, but then if you see, like you said, that stop,
right,
it's just happened so quickly, but that little one moment and it messes up the whole thing. So with the multiple tears, I think you're looking at minimum 10 months, I think is what I've seen. I think you can come back from an ACL in like six, but with the multiple tears, it's probably 10 months. So you know, for those people who are optimistic he could return for the playoffs, that's not happening. The earliest would be spring training of next year, and that's if he really works hard and gets through rehab and comes back and it heals well and all that. So
with it being a 10 month,
it's a tough road.
If it's a 10 month recovery, like I would not be shocked at all if he's not, if he isn't on the starting day lineup in 2017. I mean, there's a lot between now and then. Yeah. Like, I'm not predicting that or anything. Speaking of predictions, man, my predictions are all blown now.
Yeah, well, and of course, you never make those based on any kind of freak season-ending injury either. So
yeah, but
you know, as far as long-term predictions, it's difficult to say what this might mean for him long-term. I think it's easy to speculate, but hard to actually know, because the good thing is he's young, you know, and that healing is easier when you're 23 than when you're 33. So,
and I don't think he's had, even though
that going for him,
and even though he played football, I haven't heard it about any other knee injuries or anything where, you know, this could kind of be, you know, I think probably once you snap him once, you know, there's probably lingering.
When they're surgically repaired, they're weaker.
Right. Yeah.
But
I haven't heard about any previous knee injuries or anything like that from his football days.
I don't believe so either. But, you know, the biggest concern after recovery is, you know, the loss of speed or mobility, that side-to-side motion, which is what your LCL is, kind of like the one on the outside of your knee. And so, like, that what lets your knee move left and right, and sort of for an outfielder, that jump could be affected. Or maybe just lingering pain in his knee that cuts down on his speed. I think those are the things you'd have to watch out for post-recovery. But like I said, it's just too early to see. But you can kind of speculate that with an injury like this, it could be hard to sit in a crouch for, you know, 120 games a year or what it might be if you're catching, if he became a full-time catcher. So the Cubs haven't ruled out him coming back to catching, but it certainly could limit his ability to do that. And as far as left field goes, I don't see it terminating his chances of ever, you know, playing the outfield again.
Yeah, I think it's just too early to predict what a post-surgery and a post-recovery Kyle Schwarber looks like. I've heard a lot of people predicting it like this. I mean, like you said, maybe it's the end of his catching days. I've heard a lot of people act like that's just like a guarantee, like, oh, he's done. I don't know if that's true. You know, I have no idea how those ligaments are impacted by those types of movements. You know, I mean, obviously we're not physicians, so I don't really know if like how much of an impact and it has. And if he's done behind the plate, well, it wasn't really a guarantee that he would be there anyway. Mm-hmm. So I've also heard people say that it pretty much solidifies that he's a DH and the Cubs need to trade him. I don't buy that at all.
No.
I think Schwarber has a lot of improving to do in the outfield. A lot of room for improvement. I think I think he will do a lot of improving. He was just learning the position, and I think that he was on track to improve to become an average outfielder, an average left fielder. And does this injury crush that possibility? I really don't think so. He's not a speedster in the outfield anyway. So if he loses half a step, what's the difference?
Just look at how close he was to actually making a play on that ball, though.
I mean,
that just is a testament to he kind of has speed that you don't expect.
Yeah. I just don't think if he loses a half a step, I don't think that has a huge impact. I mean, his value is not in the outfield anyway. He has the potential to be average in the outfield. His value is at the plate. And, I mean, like I said, I'm not a surgeon, but I don't think this injury will impact his performance at the plate, and I don't think it's really going to hurt his value or production defensively either.
So the one sort of medical thing I could find was from an article on ESPN about Tyrann Mathieu. He's the cornerback. He used to play for LSU, plays for the Cardinals.
I think they say Matthew for Matthew. That.
So he had the same or similar injury, and the surgeon that was interviewed said that in his experience, it's possible for football players to return to their previous performance level after this type of injury. But when football players undergo ACL injuries, only about 70% return to the prior level. With LCL injuries, that drops to about 50%. So at the very least, and this is saying like he's going to get back to where he was.
Sure.
So, I mean, 50-50 odds, if that's what this guy's actually saying, it's not terrible. You know, for a guy who's young and is definitely going to put in the work and
50-50 odds to return to what he was, right?
To his prior level. Yeah.
Right. Right.
And have no visible effect on his athletic ability. And then like you were saying, Corey, like, so maybe he doesn't hit that 50% and it's not all perfect, but even with a loss of half a step, he's still a viable National League player.
And in addition to the recovery and just getting some of the mobility back and everything too, you know, there's a lot of like confidence that needs to be built back up in his knee. You know, you see that frequently with, I mean, I really enjoy college football. I watch a lot of college football, and you'll see players when they come back from a knee injury, and a lot of it is just confidence in that knee, especially running backs when they're making like cuts and stuff like that. They need to build up that confidence that everything is back to the way it should be. And so that could take some time too.
Yeah, it's like, well, Bulls fans are familiar with Rose coming back and injuring it again and then having to build that back up of like, can I cut? Can I really go 100% on this knee without it giving out again?
Right. Yeah. So I think it's easy to look at such a brutal injury and assume that this must have a huge impact on his career. I just think it's silly to predict that, really. And like you said, Kurt, he's not having surgery for a few more weeks. And I think, you know, even with a surgery, you know, or even though he hasn't had the surgery, I'm pretty certain that fans don't know what a 2017 Schwarber looks like. And I think over the next, I guarantee over the next year, especially during his rehab or, you know, recovery and rehab and everything like that, you're going to hear him. The Cubs will be talking about how great he feels. And so will he. So, I mean, I don't think we'll really find out until he takes the field. And like I said, it's not like he was Billy Hamilton before, you know.
No, but he was freakishly fast for being a little tank.
Right.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up Smash Williams for a comparison, because he dealt with an injury similar to that too.
And you know what, he relied on that speed, and he lost a half a step. And he just had to learn how to play a little different.
So in order to bring that up, I would have to watch television, which I don't. The only reason I knew that is because I just Googled it.
Well, David in our Patreon group, he had a question, and he asked how this injury impacts Schwarber's contract situation. And I assume that he's talking about service time and the date of Schwarber's free agency and everything. Is that what you guys, how you guys interpreted that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, service time is a player's time on the 25-man roster or the disabled list. So in short, this does not affect anything. It doesn't push his free agency back at all. It doesn't, you know, he'll still hit arbitration at the same time. It really has no impact. Now, whether or not this could come up in like some sort of contract, you know, determining what his arbitration, you know, what salary he's offered in arbitration, I suppose that's possible. But as far as time goes and the date of his free agency, it has no bearing on it. So let's talk about what this means for the 2016 Cubs. As far as replacing Schwarber defensively, that's the beauty of this roster, is that they can lose a player like Schwarber and really it doesn't have a huge impact. I saw this on Twitter. I wanted to share it. Matt Clapp, who is at the Blog Finds, he tweeted that Fangraphs dropped the Cubs projected win total from 96.9 to 95.6. So still two games better than anyone else. And this, I just don't think it's an injury that destroys the Cubs season. And if Cubs fans need proof, after Schwarber's injured, the Cubs went on to score 14 runs in Thursday's game. So I realize that's kind of, you know, that's as silly as like pointing to the next night where they scored two runs.
Low number of runs.
Right. And saying that's because of Schwarber. But still, I just don't think we have much to worry about.
Yeah. I mean, he's a 2+ war guy. But yeah, you're right. This injury just really shows how intelligently this roster has been constructed. We've talked about the versatility and depth. And now, you know, here it is going to be put into practice. And then also just the serendipitous nature of the whole Fowler situation, too. But anyway, I mean, kind of what it boils down to is Soler's going to get a lot more reps. And you know, we that's kind of something we want to see anyways. We want to see him really get a chance to see who he can be. And so he's going to get that chance. But you know, I mean, they'll still undoubtedly feel the absence of Schwarber in several ways. Several people pointed out how nicely his and Rizzo's lefty bats sandwich Bryant, make a sandwich Bryant, with Bryant being the meat and their bats being the buns. And so they don't have that anymore. But I mean, I don't think that's too huge because there's so much for an opposing pitcher to look at with this lineup already, with multiple switch hitters, et cetera. But then, you know, also him being the third catcher, which obviously is completely a luxury to have, but still we have a couple aging catchers on the roster. And, you know, part of the plan was to try to keep those guys a little bit fresher by putting Schwarber in there every so often. He was going to catch Hamill. But anyway, they really already have quite a few different outfield configurations without Schwarber. You know, the aforementioned Soler, but, you know, Caesar, Bryant, Zobrist, possibly. Eventually Baez, who had a setback recently again, but I got to think he'll be in the mix eventually. But because they have so many options to play the outfield, you know, that's why Mune was called up instead of an outfielder, or one of the reasons he was called up instead of an outfielder. But in the minors, they also have options, you know, with bringing Matt Merton back to the organization, and there are some others as well.
Victorino.
So, yeah, Victorino. Eventually, I think he's kind of working his way back from an injury. You know, and even some of the younger guys.
Andreoli.
Yeah, who showed the Cubs something in spring training with some, you know, some pop in his bat and good defensive play, etc.
I honestly see the impact being that he's one guy out. He's a big guy out. And if the injuries start piling up, then it can have a big impact. You hate to lose him for the season. I mean, if a guy goes on the DL for a few weeks, a month, 3 months, you know that they're still going to contribute to the team, especially when the injury is this early in the season. So, yeah, it sucks. It sucks that it happened in game 3 and that he's done. But I like you mentioned, Andy, I like the idea of more playing time for Soler. And I'm not huge on the idea. Like, I still feel like there's so many outfield options that I like the idea of Bryant staying at third base. Even though I know that he can play outfield and that would give
Stella
more playing time. Right. Yeah. He's playing in right field today. But I don't know. Especially with Baez potentially coming up, but I don't know. I kind of wish Bryant would just stick at third base, not only cause I kind of predicted that in our predictions episode, but I think I said
the truth comes out.
Yeah. He's already, I think we set the over under at 3 positions and I believe he's already played 3. So,
well, I mean, they want to maintain, you know, the versatility of the roster. Obviously, losing Schwarber reduces the depth they had, reduces the versatility they had. But it's not like it's not still there and something that they're still developing in other players as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I did read I couldn't tell you who wrote it. It's one of the ESPN articles about, it might have been Olney or something, about like the domino effect of the injury and how it's sort of sink or swim time for Soler. right. and like how this affects even the development of some minor league guys. Like Contreras, you know, now there's not this three catcher situation, and you know they don't need to call him up tomorrow to have three catchers, but it certainly makes late season options for calling him up more likely. Or so yeah, it really is a domino effect on the sort of rest of the organization down through older players rehabbing, like you mentioned, Victorino, down to younger guys who are working their way up.
It's kind of funny that that the idea of having three catchers on the roster just seemed so silly not that long ago. And then yesterday I was listening to Jed Hoyer, and they were basically said that they could call up Fedorowicz because you know, they might need him to catch. It's like, it's so weird that this Cubs roster now is like, well, we pretty much have to have three catchers. But with Montero being older, I that's one thing I think. I think with kind of deciding that Schwarber was going to catch Hamill, I think that takes a more pressure off of Montero, who we saw kind of run out of gas towards the end of the year last year. So I thought
and your other catcher's freaking riding around on a rascal too. So,
but hitting doubles. So, well, I don't, anything else you guys wanted to say? I mean, there's already, if you pay attention to Cubs news, I don't know what else there is to say. You know, everybody has said what's to be said about Schwarber. But did you guys have?
I guess like one last thing I wanted to say about him is that just hearing his interview, you know, with the press, you get a sense of that this guy is a fighter. You know, he's got the spirit needed to really work through this. I mean, I don't know him, you know, of course, but besides what I see in his interviews, it seems like he does have a lot of character and will work his way through it like a champ.
Well, I mean, he showed that by being determined to be a catcher, even though his skills were not at all where they needed to be. And he indicated that he wanted to put in the work, that he saw himself as a catcher and that's what he wanted to be. So I think it seems like it's in his nature to kind of be a fighter, and to I don't think there's any question that he's going to do everything he can to be the best ball player he can be. I mean, that's what most professionals do, you know?
Sure.
Well, I mentioned Baez. I wanted to briefly talk about Baez. He did suffer a minor setback this week. It looked like he might be back with the Cubs when they came to Chicago for the home opener on Monday. You'll remember that he bruised his thumb sliding into first base in a spring training game. The thumb is reportedly healing fine, but then he was playing in an extended spring training game this week, and he got hit in the helmet with a pitch. Madden says that he is not progressing, which I guess like makes you think he must not be playing particularly well. If the Cubs say that his thumb is healing fine, but then Madden says that he's not progressing. So I guess I would rather see them take their time with Baez and call him up to the Cubs when he's ready. And the Cubs have had difficulties scoring runs. Have not had difficulty scoring runs this season. There's so many weapons, and it's still early enough. I just don't think that they need him to like spell players for days off and stuff like that. So I would be really surprised if we see him in the next week or so. I think it's going to be taking his time, I guess. Not him taking his time, but they'll be taking their time with him.
Right. And they like what they've seen out of, you know, Caesar's bat so far, and like to give him some more reps, I'm sure. So,
yeah. Speaking of Baez though, it's not Baez, but
it's time for the Ass Hat of the Week.
That's right. So Saturday morning I turn on 670 The Score because I knew that Jed Hoyer was going to be on. I missed most of that interview, but I got back in the car a little later, and I heard a host on The Score say that Javier Baez is the new Kerry Wood. And, man, I about lost it. I don't know who it was. I guess what he's implying is that Baez is always injured and will never live up to his potential. That's the only thing I could come up with. Doug, he said he wondered if he was saying that Baez was going to strike 20 people out, if that's what he meant. But I mean, can you guys interpret it any other way?
No, it's a ridiculous, asinine comparison.
But it's funny that he picked Wood and not like Pryor.
Right, exactly.
You know? Like Wood, at least he did something.
Right. Yeah. If you're gonna compare someone to an often injured player, it should be Mark Pryor. But
or just nobody.
Right. Right.
He's not.
Yeah. I was fuming instantly. I was so pissed off, and I don't even, like I said, I don't even know who the host was. I don't really care to figure out. I think today I actually flipped on the radio, and it was on that station again, and they were interviewing Dane Perry. And so I listened to some of that, it was around the same time. And so I know the host was Barry Rosner. And so I'm just going to assign this ass hattery to Barry Rosner, even though I have no idea if that's who it was. It was about the same time of day. But I think almost every sports talk radio host could be assigned the title of ass hat of the week at some point during the week. I hate sports talk radio. I hate it. And this is why, you know,
Barry, defend yourself if you're in the chat. Okay.
Right. Okay. You guys know where I live. So I got off the interstate we were driving home this morning. I got off the interstate and they were wrapping up that interview with Dane Perry. And so it takes what? Maybe about 20 minutes to get from the interstate to our house. So that entire time, that entire 20 minutes, completely 20 minutes, was advertisements and them talking about whether or not you should have a comma after when you have multiple things before the word "and" in a sentence. 20 freaking minutes.
Comma.
Right.
Did they say Oxford?
Yes.
Comma,
yeah. They did
once.
Say, they did. Okay. They did say that. I couldn't remember what it was called. Yes. Oxford comma. They talked about that and punctuation inside of quotation marks. They talked about that the entire freaking time and did not even, as soon as they hung up with Dane Perry, did not comment at all on what he said. The first thing they said was about the Oxford comma. And like
they were just waiting.
Yes.
They couldn't wait for this interview to be
they
over.
Did not
so they
even,
could talk about Oxford.
Dane Perry said some interesting things and did not even comment on it at all. And like that, there are so many reasons I hate sports talk radio, but I think a lot of people don't like sports talk radio because of the dumb callers. Well, who keeps the callers or the listeners dumb? It's the hosts. And I mean, just what an idiotic thing to say about Baez. So Baez went on the DL last year in Iowa with a broken finger after he slid into a base. He came up at the end of the year, contributed off the bench, stepped in for Addison Russell when he got injured in the playoffs. Then he bruises his thumb at spring training. His return is delayed a little bit, you know, past the end of the first week of the season this year. You know, God, he's just always on the DL. That's his injury history right there. He was on the DL in Iowa, the delayed his call-up last season, and probably has to do a week or two of extended spring training this year. And they're going to compare him to I think they should leave Kerry Wood out of this, you know. But, oh, God, it makes me so mad. And then, like, oh, yeah, and he didn't play the first few weeks of the 2015 season because his sister died. Okay, so let's like back the F off, you know, like what pisses me off is that people will hear that and then you'll start to hear these meatballs saying stuff like that. You know, Javier Baez is 23 years old, just totally ridiculous. And I don't know why I expected anything different when I flipped on freaking AM sports talk radio, but
I kind of love that your video feed froze in your rant.
And you have a rant face in the frozen version.
That's too bad.
Well, let's not comment on that. Let's talk about the Oxford comma.
Yeah, did they at least play the Vampire Weekend song after the break?
God, I hate it so much. It made me so mad. And that's really what it boils down to is that, and in no way, like, you know, I think somebody might hear that and think that, like, we think we're superior to sports talk radio. I don't necessarily, you know, we are what we
yes,
are.
We it, are.
Well, we are what we are though.
It's a pretty easy statement.
Right. But like, I don't know. We do something different than they do. But like, mm-hmm. It's the most accessible avenue for sports talk. You know, just flip on the radio and there it is. And it just really pisses me off because they make fans stupid. They are the ones that, on the other hand, I guess because of them, we have internet muscle flexes.
This is true.
So I don't know. Maybe I changed
my mind. All right. So keep doing what you're doing, guys.
And I don't know. I hate to say, like, I'm not saying that there's nobody good in sports talk radio. I just don't know who they are. Although I shouldn't say that because there actually are a couple people in sports talk radio that I probably would be okay with, but I can't listen to it. It makes me so mad.
Ugh. I wish that were clearer how you feel.
Sorry. I got to wind down here. I'm trying to bring myself down.
Hashtag fired up.
When I start, if you notice that I start using like tons of hand motions and gestures and start waving my arms around.
You were
wildly.
Frozen on Angry Corey for a while. So,
okay. So let's,
we didn't get to witness the full thing.
Let's move off of this. Let's talk about this Diamondback series here. Do you guys have any thoughts on the series?
Well, first of all, you know, I was going to be happy if they could come out of this road trip, you know, maybe 4-2. And so they've secured a winning road trip. And so just to see them play as well as they played on the road to start the season, makes me pretty optimistic for this season. I mean, not like I wasn't optimistic before, but, it just kind of solidified my thinking about the team is that they're going to be a solid team on the road. And then coming home, they're going to be hard to beat.
Unless it's 31 degrees.
Well, Soler has his ski mask, so he'll be fine. Right.
Well, and the pitching is there. You know, that's what's been impressive. Obviously, Hendricks yesterday. I wasn't able to watch yesterday's game, but, man, Hendricks, I mean, his numbers looked really good. The highlights looked really good. So,
yeah, I mean, I was just going to mention that, like the continued pitching dominance. The most runs they've given up was, what, 3? Is that right? The Lackey start was 6.
6,
but they still won. But outside of that Lackey start, which was really the only sort of quote unquote bad start, the rest were 2 and 3 and 1 run.
Yeah, and that Lackey start too, they put up 14.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of nice to see him win in a different way, other than, you know, putting up 14, 15 runs or 9. And then I was really impressed with Hendricks. I did see that game, and you know, on paper you've got your number 5 going against Greinke, who's off to a rough start, but you know, that doesn't look like a favorable matchup, but just worked out perfectly for him. So
yeah.
Well, let me comment on the Greinke start too, is seeing him come out and he's not very sharp to start the game. And the Cubs hitters really seem to recognize that early with, you know, by having very disciplined at bats and being very selective with what they were swinging at. And so it made a bad situation for Greinke worse.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty quickly. And so they jumped on him early, which was key. And that was awesome to see. I mean, I was just thinking, man, this lineup is rugged and disciplined, and it's going to be really hard on opposing pitching all season long.
Yeah. And I think we also have to like make sure to give some credit to the bullpen. I saw this tweet today from View from the Bleachers, and they said that in 12 innings of work, the Cubs bullpen has given up 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 13 strikeouts. So,
dang.
Yeah, and Rondon looked good last night. I did get to see the 9th inning.
And Warren made his debut yesterday too, and pitched very well.
After not looking great in spring training.
Right. So, yeah, like you said, Rondon didn't look good in spring training. Warren didn't look that great in spring training. They come out and they look great.
Well, and really none of the pitchers looked great in spring training.
Sure.
I remember at least one rough start by Hendricks. Hamill had some rough appearances. So
one of the starters I thought looked great in spring training was Lackey.
I know. Yeah. We saw him pitch that backfield game, and
he dominated those Angels high A players. They were just mesmerized by his teeth. They couldn't They couldn't pick up the rotation of the ball because of his the sun glistening off his.
And he never puts them away. he's always ready to chomp something.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't have too much to say about the Diamondback series. It'll be good to see the Cubs come back to Wrigley, even though I don't think, based on what the weather's been like here for the last week, it's not going to be a real pleasant evening at Wrigley. It's going to be cold.
But it'll be interesting to see them play some better teams too. I mean, you know, nothing against the Angels and D-backs, but
I don't know. I think the Diamondbacks are probably better than the Reds. Although the Reds are, you know, have a decent
record. The Reds
record
have started
right now.
The season pretty well. They're out to a 4-1 start. But still, I mean, the Cards are coming up.
Two series with the Reds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't paid much attention to the Reds yet this season, but I hope to God that they have the starters that they had at the end of the season last year, because those guys were bad. The Cubs like just destroyed them towards the end of the year. So I hope, and they were like young guys called up from the minors. So I really hope that's what their rotation is.
Yeah, me too. That'd be good.
So we have a question here from Sean. I don't know if I put this in the notes, guys. Sean asked, how many opponent starting pitchers will last more than 7 innings against the Cubs lineup this regular season? And then he has the hashtag, point to the base you're on instead of rubbing batter's helmet. Which is apparently the new helmet rub, I guess.
Pointing at the base?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen it?
Well, maybe I haven't.
Yeah, you probably haven't noticed it. You probably haven't noticed it. Yeah, they get on the base and then point to it with both hands, like both fingers, which wouldn't make a great shirt, I think, like two hands pointing down.
No, yeah, probably not.
But to answer the question, not many.
Yeah,
we've yet to see anybody, including, you know, Zach Greinke, give them a ton of trouble. They didn't score a lot of runs on him, but they got to him early. So
that's kind of what I was saying. I mean, it's going to take a pitcher having to come out looking sharp right away, I think, to have any shot at shutting this team down for, you know, by going deep into the game. When, you know, a pitcher even of Greinke's caliber comes out and is a little bit off, I think this lineup is going to give them fits.
Yeah, the only way I can really kind of see it happen, I mean, I think it will happen occasionally, but I'm thinking, like, if there's somebody in the scouting report basically says to jump on the pitcher early in the count and the Cubs are super aggressive and swinging early and it's not working for them, they're just hitting into outs, then I guess you might see a guy go late. But, man, the way they take pitches, it's hard to see. Even if they're not scoring a ton of runs, they just drive up those pitch counts. So I just don't think we're going to see it very often. I actually tried to look to see how often opposing pitchers went more than 7 last year. But I was driving in the car and trying to do it on my phone. Couldn't do it. I wasn't driving. I was riding. Wanted to clarify that. My mom listens.
But I think they're able to recognize early. I think Gandy was just saying this. Like, so if Greinke goes out and Greinke's not sharp early, they're aggressive. But if they're facing, no matter who it is, and the guy's got good stuff early, they're just racking up the pitch count,
right? Trying to get
taking
into that
good at bats, and then waiting till like the third or fourth inning to light them up. So they've done both,
yeah.
In this early season, yeah.
But even when they're being aggressive, it seems like they're still doing a good job at waiting for that pitch. That's their pitch, you know, that they feel like they can drive, mm-hmm. which is a great sign.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, I just saw, since we were talking about Baez earlier, Kerry Muscat just tweeted that Baez will start a rehab assignment early this week, and they're still looking at where he will go because of weather. So, So there you go. He's on his way back. Just like Kerry Wood always was, on his way back.
He's going to throw a simulated game tomorrow.
He's going to be throwing towels. He'll be at second base throwing towels to first base, doing those towel drills. Kurt, do you have a scary stat for us this week?
I do, and it's kind of one I touched on last week, but I felt like I wanted to give him some props this week after, and it's Dexter Fowler. after that rough collision with Schwarber. So his numbers so far, and I should point out to like scary stats kind of fun early in the season because there's such statistical anomalies.
Come on, say it.
Happen this. No, I didn't say that. But Dexter Fowler has
small sample size, small sample, sample size, small sample size, small sample size, small.
But he's had 19
at bats. Small sample size, small sample size, small sample size.
He's had 10 hits and for a 5.26 average. He's had two doubles, a triple, and a home run. Scored 7 runs, and he's walked 5 times. So his OBP is 6.25. Ooh. So that's your scary stat. Guy setting the table and lighting it up at the top of the lineup. So good job, Dexter.
Yeah.
So we get to see a chance to, see the Cubs play without him in the lineup today, and we'll see how they fare. I think Zobrist is batting leadoff today. But yeah, it seems like they're really fortunate to have him back.
I just looked in the chat real quick, and Mike, you know, we hung out with at spring training from San Diego. He says the Oxford comma is the Kerry Wood of the English language. Oh, man. Do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
I have one.
I do not.
Okay. Is yours pretty good, Andy?
It's fine. I posted it already in the Patreon group earlier this week, but I'm going to go ahead and just bring it up here on the podcast as well.
Okay. Well, let me run through mine real quick, and then you can do yours. Because I kind of have a bunch that all say the same thing. And it's from the Cubs Instagram. Wait, which one was yours on, Andy? I'm sorry. I hope I...
It was on the marquee sponsorship.
Oh, okay. Well, mine's the same thing, so go ahead. I guess I forgot what you posted.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the Cubs posted a picture, an image of the marquee getting positioned and getting put back in place, and so there were actually a lot of people, which maybe is what you're gonna say, Corey, commenting on the Toyota logo.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. So one poster on the image that I have from I guess this is Instagram, says, "Come on, really? Toyota logo on the marquee?" And then one person responded saying, "I don't like the ad either, but it's been there for a few years now, guys. You know what I do like? Free agents." And also I want to give credit to, Chris Howell, also sent me an image of the marquee from the 80s, and it, you know, it has a Budweiser logo underneath it in the picture from the mid 80s. So it's been around forever. And thanks to Chris for sending me that picture. So people have actually been complaining about it for a long time, but they don't complain, you know, when there's a team that's fun to watch play baseball.
Right. It's funny to hear people complain about advertisements in the ballpark when you look back at like old timey pictures and every single inch was covered in a billboard or something, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what mine are on the Toyota thing too. I'm going to read a few of these. One of them says, "Get Toyota off there. I don't care how much they paid to have it on there. Not to mention, this is America's pastime, not Japan's. So put Ford, Chevy, or Chrysler up there." Chrysler.
Chrysler's owned by Italians.
It's not Japanese. It's not Japan's pastime. They hate baseball over there.
No, it's awful.
I also like this one.
Udinori is Korean.
I also like this one. "I'm definitely going to buy a Honda because Toyota is on the Wrigley sign. Way to sell out, guys."
What? What? Gonna buy a Honda? What? That doesn't make any sense.
This one says another one of my favorites. "Why does Toyota have to ruin all things good?"
Just log off and log off and go listen to sports talk radio.
"Oh, it was a sunny day outside. I went for a walk and freaking Toyota. They ruined everything good."
The rain cloud just positioned itself right over my head and started following me around.
Had a Toyota logo.
All because of Toyota.
But this is maybe my favorite. This person says, "Are you serious? They're taking that down? That's sad."
What? What?
It's not even like they didn't even have the. Right. They didn't want to like use a noun. They just said that. Like, they're taking that down.
Right. Oh, here it is. 2 days before the home opener, and the Cubs announce it, the Cubs just take away the marquee. Oh my gosh, people, man!
We apologize to all fans, but we're going to be taking that down. We're going to be taking that big red thing with the shiny bright stuff on it down.
I'm surprised somebody didn't comment on the fact that it lights up.
Right. Well, that does it for this episode. If you're in the Quad Cities or to Peoria area, anywhere in there, or if you want a little drive, Andy and I will be at Duffy's in Galesburg with some listeners on Monday night for the home opener. You can join us. And if you have any questions, email me, Corey, Corey, at ivmv.com. This episode was brought to you by all of our wonderful Patreon supporters. Patreon helps us pay the podcasting bills. Everything is invested back into the podcast and our events. These pledges improve everyone's IVMV experience. They have helped us tremendously, and we really appreciate it. We have a new contributor this week, Evan in Chicago. If you enjoy our podcast and you'd like to help us fund it and even earn some perks while helping, go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMB. There will not be a midweek episode this week. I'll be in St. Louis, and I will probably be looking to watch the Cubs game in St. Louis on Thursday night. So if you're in the St. Louis area and you want to meet up somewhere and watch the Cubs game, then email me or send me a tweet at IVMB. So stick around here at the end of the episode. I'm playing some voicemail that we got after our season prediction episode. Thank you for downloading this episode, and we'll be back next Sunday to talk about whatever happens with the Cubs in the games between now and then. And until then, go Cubs.
Hey guys, this is Matt from Richmond, Virginia. My prediction for the Cubs win total this year, I'm going to go against my head and vote with my heart and say that this is a triple-digit team that's going to have a triple-digit year. So I'm going to say an even 100. And as far as a stat that I would disagree with y'all on, I'm going to go with the Kawasaki games played. Just because in the season that we hope to have, we won't necessarily need Kawasaki to play for the Cubs that often. But the likelihood is that things will not go exactly as planned. And I think Kawasaki is our best backup plan for the infield when something goes wrong. So I think between pinch hits and rest days and defense and everything else, he'll definitely get more than 28 games played. Anyway, thanks, guys. And go Cubs.
Thank you, guys. We're way low on your predictions for the number of wins the Cubs will have this year. I think they're going to win over 100 games due to how many teams are rebuilding the National League this year. Another category I think you guys were way off were on the number of positions Javier Baez is going to play this year. He is literally the primary backup at every infield position. So I think he's going to start at first, second, short, third. He'll probably start at left field sometime this year. He'll play a little bit of center field at some point. That's why he went to winter ball this year. The tough position for him to get in was going to be right field because both Jason Hayward and Solar are going to have to be out of the game for that to happen, but I think sooner or later he'll get into right field. So I think he's going to play seven positions and start at least five this year. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Go Cubs.